Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and you've had a good week and we've had a little bit of sunshine, so it's always a blessing. Great weekend at Champneys. Felt really blessed to have that experience, being able to hopefully inspire a few people. It's just always really good to connect with like-minded people and chat about this stuff. And, you know, somebody said, oh, well, I don't know whether I should come on this retreat because I'm still drinking. And, you know, it really isn't about that. It's always about so much more than not drinking, as you've all heard me say 1,000 times. And I got a great response to the podcast last week. Thank you to those of you who popped me a message, and really glad you enjoyed the interview on self-hypnosis. I thought that Dr. Spiegel really just explained it well, just explained why and how hypnosis works. I thought it was really good. Anyway, there is that discount code to try it. Free for 14 days, I think it is. Obviously, if you put your credit card in and you don't want to continue, then cancel before that period of time is up. But it's a free trial for the app, and it might be very useful to get you out of those situations where you just feel kind of wired. And it was really interesting, actually, because we were chatting on our Champneys retreat about how to use the HALT acronym. And again, most of you heard me talk about it. It's written about in my book and many other places. And literally it's HALT, H-A-L-T. So the letters stand for hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And it's just such a great word to remember, because whatever is going on for you, perhaps you're long past the craving for a drink stage. Perhaps for you, it's reaching for sugar, or I don't know, going online and shopping and buying yourself stuff you really don't need. Whatever it is for you, whatever these compulsive urges are that you absolutely know don't serve you, but in the moment you're triggered and all hell kind of breaks loose. If you can pause long enough to just ask yourself, is it actually that I'm hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? Often it is one of those. Sometimes it's fear as well. So we could add that on. Doesn't flow quite as well, does it? But you know what I mean. But you know, if you're hungry, this is such an obvious one. It really, really is. When I was drinking, I often was actually just hungry, but I mistook that for craving wine. And you know, after several glasses of wine, of course, I was no longer hungry, allegedly, but my body was actually probably crying out for nutrients rather than toxic liquid. So ask yourself if you're hungry, and don't be afraid to go and have some food, you know, preferably proper food. But even if it has to be a snack, it's fine. Have some food. You'll find it hits the spot. And when you have really good, nutritious food that actually satiates you, then you don't crave the alcohol in the same way, or if at all. Another tip I very often give people is go make a green juice, because if you go make a green juice, or if you've got one that you've made in the morning and you've popped a bit of it in the freezer, oh man, I mean, that's literally energy straight to your cells, and you absolutely don't feel like drinking after that. So that's hungry. And then angry, well, it's obvious, isn't it? The alcohol's not going to serve that. And so often it is anger. Somebody said to me that they were so angry about something that they bought a bottle of wine almost out of anger, as if buying the wine would somehow solve everything. They didn't even want to drink, but just in order to piss someone else off, they drank. And it's so complex, all of this, isn't it? Because we're such people pleasers, and we've got this self-sabotage thing going on as well in so many cases. So it's just really worth remembering that alcohol won't help your anger. It might, you know, make you a bit stupefied for a while, so you don't have quite the same rage, but it won't really help the anger, and anger is often linked to fear anyway. So find another way of dealing with it, even if it's just for a few minutes, or, you know, just for 15 minutes, go for a run, I don't know, walk by the sea if you've got that opportunity, go and sit with your back against a tree, go and punch a cushion, go and lock the door and go in a room on your own and swear loudly, you know, I find that often works. But there'll always be a better way than drinking. Because ultimately, whatever has made you angry is still going to be there, whether you numb it out or not. So much better to deal with it, you know, in a healthier way. And then obviously lonely, well, that's where the connection piece comes in. And I think I've probably told you a lot of times, you know, that's why we have the Sober Club, because when you can just come on our private Facebook group, share what's going on. There will always, always, always be someone around to pick you up, to cheerlead you, to, you know, to kind of remind you that it's okay, you know, you're not on your own. Most of us have been there. That's why we're in this situation. So that loneliness piece can be a tough one, but it's really important to connect with like-minded people in that moment. Lots of people can be lonely, even though they've got people around them. You can still be lonely if your path doesn't feel quite the same, as it were. So connect with somebody else. And then tired, well, it's an obvious one, isn't it? You know, go and have a nap. I mean, or at the very least, do something that rejuvenates you a little bit, rather than reaching for a drink, which again, you get that kind of second wind and allegedly feel a bit better for a while, but you don't really, you know, it's not actually going to be in any way helpful for your body. So that's the HALT acronym that we were talking about. And what else do I need to tell you? Just a quick reminder of a couple of events coming up on the 15th of November. I think there are still a few places left for our breathwork session with Christina Ray from Ray Rituals. So really looking forward to that. That's a free breathwork session, but there are limited spaces. So hopefully you've seen stuff on the show notes. And register for that. And then on Thursday, the 16th of November, if you can get to Hertfordshire, a really beautiful evening, just 7 till 9, in a really magical, gorgeous woodland space. And it's just going to be a kind of self-care, sober, curious circle, really. So if you've been sober for ages, feel free to come along. And if you're just thinking about sobriety, come along. And if you're really not even sure, but you like to focus on self-care, then that's fine too. And we'll do a yoga nidra session. So yoga nidra is, it's not yoga, it's the yoga of sleep. So it's literally relaxation, and but really deep relaxation. So we're going to end the evening with that. So that's November the 16th. So if you check out thesoberclub.com/events, you'll find both of those there. Also at the end of the month, one of my one of the sober coaches that I train, Janet, is hosting an event in the north. So you'll find more about that as well. And then December the 5th, we've got our the Sober Club Christmas party and meetup. That one is sold out. It's in London. It is sold out. But if any tickets become available, then I'll definitely keep you posted. So talking of sober coaches and events, there's so much great stuff going on at the moment. As you know, Andy did a fantastic event in Manchester a couple of weeks ago and then got featured in Mancunian Matters. How cool is that? Talking about events that have been going on that weekend in Manchester, just so exciting. And then one of the other coaches that I work with, Anna, she was featured in a great article about sober coaching and you know, just people turning away from the booze. That was super exciting. So there's loads of great stuff going on. Our next coach training, by the way, if that is something you're interested in, appreciate it's not for most of you, but if anyone is interested, it's the end of January. The next course starts the end of January 26th. So just message me if that's something you're interested in. Well, I'm so delighted to cover something on the podcast that I don't think I've actually properly looked at before. We're going to be talking about the topic of what is it like to be living alone, to be single, to be child-free, and drinking more than you want to. We spend an awful lot of time talking about, you know, how tricky it is when you've got a partner who maybe isn't, you know, along with you on your sobriety, or how you deal with all of that. But there's an awful lot of people living alone. And I'm just so pleased that to talk to us about this is my guest, Christine. Christine Colson is a member of the Sober Club. She's also one of our sobriety and wellbeing coaches who did our training last year. And welcome, Christine.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Jamie.
Oh, I'm so pleased that you recommend, you know, you popped up and said, let's talk about this, because am I right in thinking you're 40, you're single, you don't have children,
yeah,
and you've really recognised that you're not the only one in this situation.
Exactly.
And there's a thing here around perhaps, you know, secret drinking, drinking alone, not perhaps the whole issue of accountability that's slightly different for someone in your situation. So yeah, it's a great topic to cover. Let me just ask you then, tell us a bit about your background. What's your sort of you know, what led you to this point?
Well, I think from a love life perspective, my love life could very easily be described as disastrous. I have had partners, lived with partners, but I've been very single for sort of the last 10 years and happily single. Mm. I've always liked a bit of a drink. And then I found that personally, my alcohol intake increased during the pandemic. And it also changed during the pandemic. Living alone, as everyone tended to, well, you couldn't drink anywhere else other than home.
Well, yeah.
So I started to drink more at home and on my own. And then when things sort of opened up again, I found that that didn't really change. And then I decided that enough was enough, really. And made the change to quit completely at the start of last year.
Mm, fantastic. And you've since trained to be a sober coach. And yeah. I mean, the work you're doing is fantastic. But I think it's just really interesting, isn't it, that you've recognised this sort of niche, if you like. So, I mean, do you know how many people in the UK live alone? I mean, I'm guessing there must be loads.
Yeah, there's 8.3 million people in 2022. 8.3 million people lived alone, and 4.4 million of those were women.
Really?
And
that's interesting.
Yeah, there are actually some stats on drinking habits. So this isn't going to be a massive stat bomb.
Okay, no, share them. It's good.
Actually, government statistics on drinking habits stopped in 2017, which I think is a bit of a backstep myself. But in the most recent stats, population aged between 25 and 44, people who lived alone were proportionally twice as likely to drink on more than five nights a week than people that lived with other people.
Right.
So 10% of the population 25 to 44 living alone drank in 2017 on more than five nights a week, where it's only 5% if you live with other people. So it's I definitely wasn't alone.
Well, yeah, and as you say, I'm guessing that over the lockdown and all of that nonsense, that those numbers are probably massively higher than that now.
Yeah, exactly.
Massively higher.
Yeah,
because lots of people during the pandemic would have been forced to live alone who perhaps otherwise wouldn't have done.
So, yeah, exactly. And it was an awful time. Everyone went through stress, regardless of what you were doing. It was an awful time. Everyone was going through grief in some form or other. There's actually very few statistics, and I've tried to find some post-pandemic. There's a study that was out published last year in the journal Addiction, where that says that that home drinking is a very, very under researched topic. So
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Absolutely.
With 8.3 million, there's going to be a lot of people drinking alone out there.
Totally. I mean, I know from clients that I've had over the years, there's been now I think of it, there's been a whole bunch of clients who are living alone. And the things they tell me are, you know, that they get in from work and there's this, you know, whatever kind of day they've had, it's like, oh my God, I just need a reward. They don't necessarily have anyone else to particularly sound off to. And they certainly don't have anyone to hold them accountable or anyone to even say, oh, hold on a minute. I thought you decided that you'd stopped. So I guess this accountability is part of this, isn't it?
It's massive. It's such a private struggle. You don't have anyone to hold you accountable. You don't have anyone to say, oh, you know, are you sure shall we not drink tonight? Because we've done, you know, we've done three nights. Shall we have a night off? There's no one like that. But similarly, when you start to worry about your relationship with alcohol, you don't really have anyone to talk to either, because it's not like you can talk to a partner and say, I think I might be drinking too much. You might be doing that internally, but if you go to a friend or another family member, that conversation has to start with drinking. Whereas if you're living with someone, they are watching you, that they're seeing what you're doing. So it's another sort of hurdle to sort of come out as a bit of a drinker, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm guessing as well, I've had clients who've said to me, I get home after, one woman was a nurse and she said, you know, I get home after a very late shift and absolutely can't be asked to make food for myself.
Yep.
You know, I know that I've had really rubbish food all day and I get home really late, can't can't be asked at that time of night to make food. The easiest thing there, you know, it feels as though it's just reach for a drink. Now, again, I'm guessing, you know, I know it's a little bit of a generalization, but if you've got someone else living with you, they would have either perhaps made some food and left some for you, or you make the effort because you're making a meal for more people. And perhaps that diffuses that. You know, we can so often mistake the desire for alcohol for hunger.
Yeah, 100%. You have that. If you're living with a partner, you've got a partner looking after you. You know, you can phone for a takeaway, but you know, how many fast food outlets do you want to, to keep coming? And it's just
absolutely.
It's not a good.
And then place. I guess I suppose the difficulty as well is, you know, let's assume that somebody who is living alone has made the decision to quit the booze. They've got, I so often say, those early weeks, you've really got to put the work in, haven't you? You've got to have the kind of self-care stuff at the ready. You've got to have the ways to soothe yourself. You've got, you've got to have all of this stuff. And I'm guessing that some of that can be, you know, more difficult as well if you live alone. I remember one woman saying to me who lived alone, I remember her saying, I think she almost felt embarrassed that she hadn't got a lot going on in her life, right? Because of course, when you're not drinking, it frees up so much more time. Well, that's fantastic if you've got a million hobbies, but sometimes we don't. After many years of just kind of going to work and then drinking, nights can feel quite long.
Absolutely. One of my main hobbies was drinking wine, watching rubbish TV. You know, there isn't an episode of Below Deck I have not watched, which actually I'm still quite proud of. And but in fact, I shouldn't have used that as a bad thing. But without doubt, it is the accountability. You've got to, you mentioned there doing the work, and you really do you really want to quit because there's no one there to support you. If you're not going to drink, I could have, you don't know, you know me pretty well. For all you know, I might have a fridge full of wine. I don't, I'm pleased to say, but there is that lack of accountability. Some things can definitely be easier when you're living alone. I am entirely in control of my home environment. So I have an alcohol-free house. I know that there is no alcohol in this house, and there isn't going to be alcohol in this house.
Yeah, that's definitely a benefit, isn't it?
Yeah, I can focus on my self-care. I don't have to worry if I decide to pop onto a Zoom, a sober club Zoom on an evening, if I'm not working, you know, I can be there because I don't have to worry about what anyone else is doing. If I think I really want a glass of wine, I'm going to just get in the bath. We all know just getting in the bath is a brilliant way to make sure you don't go to the shop. You know, that sort of thing you are in control of.
But it does take, and also, you know, on the benefits, you know, it's a plus and a minus that you don't have anyone to sound off with, because there's so many, as I say to so many clients, you know, don't share all your innermost thoughts with your partner or your loved ones necessarily, because they're very likely to say to you when you've had a terrible day, "Oh, sweetheart, I know you've had, but look how well you've done. You've been sober for two. You've done so well. You're obviously not addicted. Well, you can just have one. It's okay." Yeah. So at least you haven't got that side of it either. So there are some benefits.
Yeah.
But what about the firsts? You know, that go into the wedding on your, you know, on your own, or the parties. Is that, you feel that's impacted?
Yeah, you're fortunate in that you only have your own social obligations to worry about. So you don't have to, you're not dragged along to a partner's business do or anything like that. I actually did my first sober wedding this weekend. So after a couple of years. So and it was great. I didn't think about drinking, which was fantastic. But they can be difficult. I mean, the first sober parties are exactly the same whether you're single or not. You know, you know fine well, prepare what you're going to drink, make sure you've got an exit plan. Weddings can be a little bit more tricky, because often when you're single, and this isn't a sober single thing either, often when you're single, you don't get a plus one because wedding budgets are tight, weddings are expensive. So I've not had a plus one to a wedding for a decade. Now, ordinarily, that would be me, well, probably having a glass of fizz as I was getting ready. I'd be going to the welcome drinks. It might be, there's been weddings where I've only known a handful of people. So apart from the bride and groom, you're effectively in a room full of people you don't know. And if
you
you're
going
to
yeah.
have, if you're going to have anything other than a tedious afternoon, you need to just start conversations, which is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Let's not beat about the bush. It is a lot easier if you've got alcohol inside you. But when that's not what's going to be happening, you've just got to go on and force yourself and do it. And that can be tricky, but everything else is the same, you know, like on Saturday, brilliant, so, you know, the sort of the wedding ceremony, then the meal and all of this. And when the formal bit of the meal ended and it went on to the sort of the drinking and celebratory part of the evening, where basically when the kids went home, I went home. It was one of my closest friends getting married, and he understood that that was likely to happen because he knows me well. And they didn't mind as a couple, but actually everyone starts to get that little bit louder, everything, you know, it's a bit like, yeah, I think this is probably the time for me to make a gracious exit. And I did, no one was offended. And I went back to the Airbnb I'd rented and put a spread of M&S snacks on for myself and watch the film. So,
exactly. But I think that's it. You know, it comes down to that self-care, and the word self in there is really important, isn't it, now? Because
it is.
In this instance, because, you know, we all have got to put this self-care in place. But, you know, as you say, those of us with partners, there's a little bit of an obligation that someone else will take care of us as well. Mm. And hopefully they will. But when it really is you've really got to be able to do that and not see it as selfish, because it's not so, it's just showing up. But it's got to be, at least in the early weeks, it's really got to be extreme self-care.
Yeah.
I love that expression coined by Cheryl Richardson, life coach Cheryl Richardson. It's a fantastic expression. She wrote a whole book on extreme self-care. And that is what you need in those early weeks.
Absolutely.
It's no good just going, oh, well, I think, you know, I might skip a meal, or, oh, well, maybe I'll just have a little meal, or I'll book a spa day in 4 weeks' time. And that ain't going to cut it.
No, it's
got
it's
to be
not.
The regular little things, you know, to support you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And
Without doubt, the start of my first sober month, I made sure that I'd got food being delivered, because there's obviously no one else to go to the supermarket. So I'd got food being delivered, so I knew I wasn't going to go down the wine aisle. I knew what I was going to be drinking instead, which was just decided to experiment with stuff in water, flavoured water, infused water. And I knitted a scarf for the first month, because
knitting's super good for you as well, isn't it?
I know you're never going to be converted, Janie. I know that.
No, I will never be converted, but I hear it's good for you.
But it kept my hands busy. It gave me something to focus on, and it gave me something to do. And that was exactly what I needed at that point of time. So,
you've got to plan.
Exactly.
You really do. You have to put that preparation in. What about how your friends took it? Particularly if you had other single friends that you perhaps used to go out with, how did they take it?
Fine, actually. I did a thing where I emailed my closest friends and my family to say, look, this is what I'm going to be doing on Tuesday. I'm not drinking, hopefully forever, but just support me. And I made a point of saying, I don't want to hear the stories. I knew people would be happy, especially my parents. I knew that they'd be a bit relieved, and their automatic response would be to say, oh, we're really pleased because, and then all, and I'd done all of that. I'd done the work. I knew what I was when I was drinking. I just didn't need to hear it. I just needed their support. And then I sort of came out as a non-drinker to more people. But I did exactly the same as other people when you get invited to things. Oh, I'm driving. Oh, I'm not drinking tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't matter what excuse you use, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's the one point where I think dishonesty is completely, completely acceptable is when you're in the
early
stages of sobriety.
I totally agree.
Lie your ass off.
exactly. So obviously, the answer to a lot of this, the way to alleviate some of this is to ensure connection. I mean, connection is the key piece, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
it is.
Whether you're single or whether you're not single, actually, what you really need is that connection with like-minded people.
Yeah.
So this is your opportunity to give the Sober Club a plug.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'd say that, didn't you?
Yes. But that's it. When you need that sober connection and you don't live alone, you don't have a partner that's doing it with you, the Sober Club is the perfect place to go to, where other people, it's that whole thing, you know, I mentioned if you're going to mention it to a friend, you've got to do the explanation of why you want to quit, and it can be difficult. You don't have to explain it in the sober club, because everyone knows what it's like to quit alcohol.
Yeah.
They know that everyone's hit a point where it's like, no more, enough is enough. And no one has ever said, well, why did you decide to quit?
Yeah, there's no judgment at all.
No one needs to. So you've got that sober connection. You also have the ability to make time for it. You can get on and chat to people. You can see what other people are up to. You can go onto the Zooms. You can do all of that sort of thing. You can be connected. You can go off to the sober by the sea, because you don't have to worry about what your partner's up to that weekend. Chances are, if you're child free like me, you've got the money to spend as well. So, you know, you can go. You can say, actually, this weekend I'm going away. I'm just going to do this thing with my sober mates, you know.
I've
got to stop calling people and, my and sober I think, mates. They're just my friends now.
But I think, you know, what is, you know, just to blow up my own trumpet for a minute, I think what is brilliant about the Sober Club, it's nothing to do with me, it's just the way it's evolved, is that, you know, we've got people in there who are sober curious and they're literally the very beginning of their journey. Mm. We've got people who are a few weeks in, still struggling with the firsts or with the partner or whatever. Mm. And then we've got people who've been sober for literally years. Yeah. And yet there's still something for everyone, because we all want to live our best life without the booze. So Absolutely. Whatever that is for us, you know, it's underpinned by the sobriety piece. And the really lovely thing is that everybody becomes your cheerleader. That's what I love about it. So people can be in there talking about a topic. It's nothing to do with sobriety. It's just something they've always wanted to do, whatever that might be, because, you know, being sober makes you brave and all. Yeah. And they'll be talking about something that really feels important to them, and everybody will be cheerleading them. Mm. And I don't know that always happens with, certainly in my life, I don't think all my friends cheerlead everything I do.
No.
But we do for each other. I think it's because we've come through to get to this point. Exactly. And it feels so exciting that people are going after what they want.
Absolutely.
So we cheer each other on. It's the support is amazing, isn't it?
It is. And sobriety isn't a competition. I will always be exactly the same number of days sober less than you, because you quit number. You know, you see people that you say that get to 5 years and you don't think, oh, I wanted that. Well, you're going to get there. Mm. That's how time works. Yeah. You just see it and it's an inspiration and you think, oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait. And the people that are struggling with it, you've been there. I mean, then this is again, not necessarily a single thing, but when you're in that, when you want to cut down because you don't think you can live without alcohol, and you start making these crazy negotiations with yourself where, oh, I'm not going to drink on the third Thursday after the harvest moon unless it's raining outside. And, you know, you come up with these crazy little patterns of how you think you're going to cut down. We've all been there. So when we see people that we can identify the same sort of patterns, we've got empathy and sympathy towards them.
Yeah.
We support them through that process and then help them see the other stuff out the other side as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely true. Yeah, it is. I remember there was one talking about weddings. There was a post, I can't remember how long ago, but a woman who'd been sober for a little while and then she had a wedding coming up. I think it was her daughter's wedding or something coming up in a couple of weeks. And she literally kind of spilled her thoughts out on our group. Well, they've ordered all this really expensive champagne and I'm just wondering, you know, would it be okay? Maybe I should just have one, because I'm wondering if it's going to feel rude if I. It was literally her brain was literally there on that post. You know, it was just to be able to do that, to be able to share those thoughts ahead of time was fantastic. And nobody kind of wrote back and said, don't be so ridiculous. Everyone just said, oh, wow, I wish I could have been to my daughter's wedding. You know, sober. I wish I could have my wedding day again. You know, you'll just think how you'll benefit if you do, you know, have you thought about getting some alcohol-free fears and just so many suggestions and so much support.
Yeah.
How could she not then go, oh, right, okay. And then, of course, the next post was, I did it and it was fantastic, you know, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And in fact, that post was where she said she'd kind of ended up having to drive home someone who was literally, you know, off the scale drunk and looking after somebody else who was ill. I mean, honestly, when you can see this, just how damaging alcohol is through different eyes, it just wakes you up, doesn't it?
It does. It really, really does. Yeah. And it's crazy I would have been the person that needed looking after 3 years ago.
Yeah.
If you'd have told me.
That's it. That's why we don't judge, because we've all been there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
We have to just touch on the topic of dating, because, you know, there may be people listening who are, you know, they're single, they're living alone, and they're thinking, oh, yeah, well, all this is very well as to how I kind of sort myself out of an evening. Mm. But what about the whole dating scene? Now, obviously, it's a heck of a long time since I've been involved in that. So tell me, you know, if you know what is it like, and how do you navigate dating, those people who want to date, how do you navigate that when you're sober?
It is different, but a lot of it is the same. I would say if you're newly sober, don't even consider going dating. I mean, Alcoholics Anonymous, they say,
they always say,
don't get into it for a year.
They do.
And I 100% agree with that.
Do you really?
You need to focus on yourself. And you know, dating, it can be fun, but it's a lot more fun if you're...
There's a different pressure, isn't there?
Yeah, it is a very different pressure. So what I would say, there's like, if you're using apps, and when you're drinking apps, I use Bumble because I'll go off and on the dating scene. On Bumble, you can actually say sober as an option
when
it comes to alcohol.
Okay, well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's good. So get it out there straight away rather than have that embarrassing thing of when you're sitting down for dinner. I don't drink. Oh, God.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what I've got that. And I know there will be people that swipe past me because of that.
Yeah. But that's good, isn't it? Yeah. Better to find
they'll be the people
now.
I'm swiping past because they say they drink regularly. It's not to be, you know.
Yes. Yes.
But and what I usually do, I mean, I'm not a guru at dating. I never not want to give dating advice. But I always say I meet people for a drink. Because I meet people in pubs because they are nice public spaces. And, you know, it might be that we'll meet for a drink and then go for a walk or something like that. But I always say, I'll meet you for a drink. I don't drink alcohol, but that's not a problem.
Yeah,
and that, as a general rule, your gut will tell you with the response you get from that, whether or not you should meet that person. If you meet the person and they don't drink because you don't drink, perfect. If they have one, I've had people that drink alcohol-free beers. I've had people that don't have a problem with alcohol and they've had a couple of pints over the date. If anyone goes along and gets really drunk in front of you, thanks, lovely to meet you. Good luck
in the
future.
It ain't gonna work, is it?
No, exactly. So, but you will be asked 9 times out of 10, you will be asked because it's a conversation point. So that's why I think you need to leave it for a year because that's wrong. You don't have to leave it for a fixed amount of time because everyone's different. You've got to leave it until you are confident in your own sobriety to say, you're all right. I am still going to have my tonic water. I am still just going to have my lemonade. I am still just going to have my ginger ale. Thank you.
It's just being true to who you are, isn't it?
Exactly.
Ultimately, it comes back to this same thing of, you know, being authentic, which you can finally do when you stop drinking, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And what the more you embrace your, as you say, your authentic self and your authentic life, I don't need a partner. You know, I'm completely happy. People will, you know, some people will think, well, hang on, I'm 43, but I'm 43.
Oh,
I'm
child
free. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't going to correct you when you said 40. I'm 43.
Well, you see, hold on a minute. We have pause there just to remind everyone that once you're sober, you get younger, obviously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm 35.
Clearly, I get younger every year, clearly.
Absolutely. But, you know, some people will just be like, oh, well, you can't be happy because obviously if you've got kids, you love them. They give you a lot in their life, but you can be happy without children in your life.
Of course. Yeah, I loved, you remember Catherine Gray's book, The Unexpected Joy of Being Single? I mean, she is now fully partnered up, of course, but she wrote that book when she, and I loved that book.
Yeah.
Actually, although I wasn't single,
there was
so much in that book.
Simon,
it was just about, well, we interviewed her on Radio 2. And so I read the book because we were interviewing her, and I thought, I really remember thinking, oh my goodness, there's a lot here that it isn't really anything to do with whether you're single or you're not single. It's just about self-care.
It's
just about actually recognizing that you're important. Yeah. You might be partnered up, you might not, but let's you know, look at the surprising benefits of taking good care of yourself. That's ultimately it, isn't it? Really,
absolutely.
That's really what you're talking about. Amazing.
Yeah, 100%. I would like a partner at the moment, purely because, as you know, I'm going through the house move process. It would be nice if there was someone else to just speak to the solicitor or estate agent. Everything happens down to me.
And help lift the boxes, right?
Oh well, I'm going to pay someone to do that. That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Christine, I must just ask you, you've given a lovely plug for the Sober Club, so thank you for that. But also you did our coach training and now you just tell us a bit about how you found that experience and the work that you're doing now.
Yeah, so it completely changed my life. I'd not done any coaching before, and it really gave me more of an insight into myself and my own sobriety and more about me as a person. But the coaching element, I absolutely love it. The fact that I have people come to me that are struggling, that have struggled to quit or cut down, and just by working with them, I can change it is absolutely fantastic. I'm a bit of an evolver, so I'm looking at other things. You know, I've done life coaching as well now. But without doubt, as my supervisor, I've got a coaching supervisor, and she said something absolutely fantastic for me. She said, "Your sobriety coach training has given you an amazing plot of land and the foundations onto which you build your coaching house, however you want to see it." And I'm so proud to have the Sober Club coaching as my foundation for my coaching practice. And it's changed my life, and it's changing other people's lives in the work that I do as well. I'm
brilliant.
I love
fantastic
it.
So tell us where we find your stuff then, Christine. How do we find you?
So my business is Your Sober Path. So it's yoursoberpath.co.uk is my website. And on Instagram, my business Instagram is at Your Sober Path. So
great. That's me. Fantastic. Well, we'll put that in the show notes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Oh, and we should mention as well, because we had this discussion about, you know, what it's like to be, to be drinking alone and all the rest of it. We were talking about Christmas and you're going to host a drop-in session for us in the Sober Club. That's a really lovely idea.
Yeah, on Christmas Eve, just Christmas Eve evening. So I'm working on Christmas Day in my other job. On Christmas Eve evening, I'm just going to host just a drop-in Zoom.
Because whether you're single or not, that can sometimes feel like a lonely time if you're surrounded by people who are all drinking. And it's when those old triggers come in, isn't it? It's that thing of, oh, Christmas Eve, we always like lay presents out, or Christmas Eve, we always put extra decorations on the tree. And I always do it with a glass of something in my hand. And all those triggers come flying back. How can I dress the tree without that glass of
Who's going to drink Santa's sherry if I can't?
Yeah, that sort of thing.
So just an easy sort of drop in if you want to, sort of session for Sober Club members, just to sort of just stay connected over Christmas. Come in and complain about the relatives, or just celebrate a sober Christmas.
Brilliant. Well, it's fantastic having you as part of our gang, Christine. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing this info with us. Really inspirational. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Great chat. And we'll put those links in the show notes. And don't forget then, a couple of events coming up. There's an online breathwork session, and there is an event in Hertfordshire on Thursday evening, just a very low key couple of hours in a really magical space. If you can get there, go to thesoberclub.com, click on events. Obviously, if you want connection, support, inspiration, all of it is there in the Sober Club. We've got so much in our member portal section as well. I don't talk about it very often. I think people probably just think that we have a Facebook group, but we so don't. We do. But we also have an online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which actually works for pretty much anything. So once you've ditched the booze, you can use it for sugar or whatever else you want to ditch. And then we have a massive member portal section where we have just so much inspirational stuff. I'm really fortunate that lots of the people I get to interview will do exclusive sessions for Sober Club members. We've got loads of amazing content in there. There's literally everything on just about every topic linked to optimum well-being that you can think of. And then, of course, we have meetups as well online. And of course, whenever we can get to meet up in person, that makes a huge difference. So, you know, it's low cost, it's high value, and it would be lovely if you wanted to join us. You can cancel at any time. It's thesoberclub.com. And whatever's going on for you, just always reach out. Whether you're a member of a club or not, it doesn't matter. Just don't try and do this on your own. It really is when you hole up, even if you're, you know, if you're single, then yeah, as Christine's been talking about, there's even that added pressure of, well, no one knows or cares, those kind of thoughts, which of course isn't true, because you know, and I'm guessing there are many people who care. But even if you do have a partner, even if you have a family, this is your thing. It's really your thing. And you need to be able to do it for you. But to be able to tell somebody, to be able to reach out and make it real is a very important part of this. So always let somebody know. You can always drop me a message. I'll reply to as many as I can. I'll hold the vision for you if I can. It's great to know somebody's cheerleading you and you're not on your own in all of this. Because if you are on your own, again, it's never really just you. You'll have the wine witch in your ear telling you that it would be a fantastic idea to start drinking again. So reach out, let somebody know what you're doing. Now is a fantastic time, because let's face it, who wants to be hungover over Christmas? Of course you don't. So do it now. Set yourself, you know, 100 days, perfect time. She ducks. There'll be lots of people thinking, you have to be kidding me. I'll wait till after Christmas. No, don't wait till after Christmas. You'll have the best Christmas ever. On that note, I'm just about to open up an offer. If anybody does want extra support ahead of Christmas, then I'm doing a kind of a coaching thing called Bossing Your Sober Christmas. So drop me a message if that might be of interest to you. Have a fantastic week, and I'll see you next week. Yeah, same time next week. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.